Good morning. Let me just do some housekeeping here. It's exciting, a baptismal service. I have a couple of charges for the baptismal people I want to share with you. It's always a joy to hear the messages, and there's lots to hear. Just a couple of words as I go into Scripture. 2 Peter says, "For prophecy never had its origin in human will, but prophets who humans spoke to God as they were carried out through the Holy Scripture." And Timothy reminds us, and this is a charge for you young folks, it's great to see you walking through your faith and want to do that. Timothy says, "From infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation." We're going to talk about wisdom today. And wisdom, it comes from all Scripture, which is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every word of God is flawless. It's written for us, from God, and for us. And, you know, in Mexico, when I preached one time, I got up there and preached to the translator, and the person afterwards said, "That was good, but it was short." I'm looking at our time, and time is moving on. And if we're in Mexico, I would just probably preach this whole sermon I have for you, but I know that we have an exciting day ahead of us, and I'm going to do some adjustment for that. And if you're visiting with us this morning or have been away for a few Sundays, we have been continuing in our series of Ecclesiastes, and the book of wisdom literature is always one of these hard ones to read and to understand and to get our heads around. And Pastor Alvin has been guiding us through this book and has titled the series Meaningless. But we titled this sermon Do It Right. And as you heard last week, the passage took us through the concept of wisdom, who is wise, and it ended off with this statement: "Who is like the wise who knows the explanations of things? A person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearances." The teacher just laid out a pathway for success in our lives, to gain wisdom, to seek after it. And you should be wiser than you were yesterday, or the week before, or the last month. So I ask you a question: how are you doing in this area? Now, one of my former churches, I had to get away from asking rhetorical questions because I had a young lad who thought it was his mission in life to vocally answer every rhetorical question. But I ask you, how are you doing in wisdom? Has this series drawn you closer to a biblical understanding for wisdom for your life? Today we're going to continue in the first part of chapter 8 and look at the practical application of wisdom, and we've entitled this sermon, Do It Right. The teacher begins by saying, "Obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God." Let's be honest with each other. Obedience and submitting to someone or something can be hard. When I was younger, a younger driver in Winnipeg, I was making my way through the town, and this was way before GPS, and I had to rely on paper maps, but when you're driving by yourself, it's kind of hard to do. So I was going on my keen sense of direction, which I do have, but I made a right-hand turn, realizing at that moment I needed to go straight. So I saw an opening in the boulevard there, and I thought, well, I'll scoot through that and then get on back on the way I was going. And as I was in the middle of the intersection, in the scooting through, I saw a sign, "Do not enter." And I thought that sign meant for everyone else, because everyone else knows where to go. The police disagreed with me. There sat a police car waiting for people to disobey that sign, pulled me over, and I got a ticket. Quick decisions in driving are not always the greatest and wisest choices. I failed to obey a traffic command and paid the price, a ticket. By the look on your faces and the giggles out there, some of you can relate to that story.
Many times.
Thanks for your rhetorical question answered to the... The teacher says, obey the king. The greatest struggle one can have is the topic of obedience. If you take a quick tour through the Bible, you will see men and women in the Bible struggle with obedience. Adam and Eve were told by God to obey and not eat of the fruit. The people were told to scatter in Genesis 11, only to join forces and build a tower and make a name for themselves. Lot's wife was told not to look back, to keep her eyes on what was ahead, and she paid the price. Abraham and Sarah were told the promise was coming. Abraham took matters into his own hand, while Sarah laughed at the idea. And we're only partway through the book of Genesis. We haven't even reached the antics of the major prophets or the patriarchs. But moving along the story, we throughout the Bible, we see the Hebrew nation is thwarted in their destination of the promised land because their lack of obedience and listening to the fears of 10 and not the faith of 2. Because of their lack of disobedience, they wandered for 40 years while the GPS kept saying recalculating. But the new generation, which was allowed to enter the promised land, were successful at first, but then they were affected. The whole community was affected by the disobedience of one. And then we get into the era of this Ecclesiastes, when the people had God as their king and they cried out for a king. God gave them a king, and this king immediately disobeyed a simple command. Even the king, who was described a man after God's own heart, struggled with obedience and failed with earthly temptation, and lust overpowered his command to obey and to not seek after something that was not his own. Obedience, or the act of obeying, as you see, carries on to this day, and it is with this passage that we look at. Even knowing the story, the teacher tells us in this verse, obey the king because you took an oath. Obedience is often paired with submission. To obey the king, as the teacher describes, requires us to submit to the rule of someone else. The oath described here in this oath is a wise person who submits to God what he has put in place. When we look at obedience and submission in the same light, we come to discover the heart of the matter. Now you may be saying, Pastor, this is not applicable to us because it is written to a king. Based on the time of the writing, it's different today, and that is true. However, let me take you to a New Testament, and let's look at the obedient and submission has to say in the lives and followers of Christ. Romans 13, let everyone be subjected to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist has been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against us, what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Even this very word of God that we have is inspired by God, written by God, for us to follow. Obedience and submission. Let me take a few moments to unpack submission for you. Some of you may have in the past encountered submission or demanding of submission in the very opposite of what God has intended and the teacher's words in Ecclesiastes is talking about. Some of you have had people over you both in the church and outside the church. Some in homes have used their position of authority to abuse and distort the concept of submission. You may be sitting here today, and for me, even to say the words brings up this emotion and some scars that go very, very deep. Unfortunately, in the history of the church, submission has been used as in a negative sense for those who demand submission of their people. They're only doing it to build themselves up. They haven't taken a God-given path of wise living, but they've twisted it for their own good. It is far from healthy or even scriptural if it's nothing to do with the passages talking about today. They may encourage you, if you are here today and have been wounded in the past with this concept of submission and obedience, seek out a greater help, a clearer understanding of the passage. We have a ministry here in Mount Olive called Reach that have counselors who desire to walk you through the struggles you face in the areas you encounter. Going to a counselor is something I've done in the past to deal with issues in my life. And it brings up issues, and if this brings up an issue, seek out help. Don't be afraid to talk about it. Because the text tells us proper submission in the correct context is what God has ordained and what Jesus has taught. Today, later in the afternoon, the people of this congregation who have taken up official membership of five we've invited earlier this morning will be gathering to elect elders of this congregation. In this very scriptural act, we seek elders who we give authority to govern this church, who shepherd and lead this congregation under the direction of the great shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's no small issue. They don't take it lightly either. In doing this, we model the very thing that's taught in this passage. Obey and submit to those in position of leadership because we took an oath as followers of Christ. This morning in the service, we saw people step forward in obedience to baptism, a public action of an inward faith. In the first service, we had five from the same family, and each one of them shared their journey of their walk with faith, identifying with Christ through the steps of baptism, declaring that they too will follow Christ. They will identify with Christ and have publicly declared their faith with him, and you saw it with our four today. With all that, let me circle back to the text. You see, in this passage, the teacher is talking about obedience to worldly authority. As much as they, the government, rebel against the concept that God has given them the authority, it doesn't diminish the fact that we as followers of Christ, that God has given them that authority. We may not like what we see for the government. We do not agree with everything they do, but it doesn't change our response. It doesn't change our wise response as followers of Christ. You see, in reading through these words of the text, I came across the statement, those who exercise authority are prevented from doing it well by their own conflicts with it. And those whose lot is to follow drag their feet because they resent being pushed around by others. Yet both groups know that without authority, little of life can be accomplished. When leadership will not lead or followers will not follow, something akin to chaos is the result. Meaninglessness. This is what we've been talking about through this series. The teacher goes on to say, do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Do not stand up for a bad cause, for he will do whatever he pleases. Since the king's word is supreme, who can say to him, what are you doing? Whoever obeys this command will come to no harm, and the wise heart will know the proper time and procedure. Again, our focus should not be on the present in our response to the leadership, but on to the future. God is still in control and will be in control. And a wise person, when we set out what is laid out in Scripture, when we know and we follow in our walk with Christ and step in obedience and submission to those who God has put in place. This doesn't mean we follow blindly. There are times we stand there for what is right. Even the teacher outlines this in verse 6. He says, for there is a proper time and procedure for every matter, though a person may be weighed down by misery. Since no one knows the future, who can tell someone else what is to come? Just because the person or entity at that moment hasn't changed the fact that we are to obey and submit, but doing it wisely. The teacher also continues with offer some guidance as to the authority when it raises its ugly side in life and what it's meant for us. Verse 8, as no one has power over the wind to contain it, so no one has power over the time of death, and no one is discharged in time of war. So wickedness will not release those who practice it. All this I saw as I applied my mind to everything done under the sun. There's a time when a man lords it over others to hurt his own hurt. Then too I saw the wicked buried, those who were to come and go from the holy place and receive praise in the city where they did this. This too is meaningless. The teacher knows that there will be time and people who will abuse the authority they are given. I've seen it time and time again. I've seen this both in the church and in society as a whole. And in the end, the teacher's reminding us of the meaninglessness of focusing on the current situation of those we are to obey. Yet it doesn't change the statement of our actions of the wise. Obedience and submission are a part of life of a believer. There's a healthy tension between following blindly and faithfully following those who God has put in our place. Jesus summed it up when he said, give to Caesar what is his and give to God what is his. Keeping an oath as a follower of Christ requires obedience in our lives. But see, the teacher moves on into the world in which we live in verse 11. When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, people's hearts are filled with schemes to do wrong. Although a wicked person who commits 100 times may live a long time, I know that it will go better with those who fear God, who are reverent before him. Are you or have you struggled with the injustice in this world? There's one thing to stand up for, but again, Scripture is reminding us that there's a proper time and a place, and God must be at the center of it. Being reverent may require action, but it should not be a response that is not God-honoring. And if it isn't a struggle for you today, the teacher's words in the next two verses may be. Yet because the wickedness do not fear God, it will not go well with them, and their days will not lengthen like a shadow. There's something else meaningless that occurs on the earth. The righteous who get what the wicked deserve, and the wicked who get what the righteous deserve, this too, I say, is meaningless. Simply put, that's not fair. We put our grandson to sleep last night in our house, or the other night. He said, I don't want to go to sleep. But that's what it is. It's not fair. To be honest, I struggle with fairness. I would love to see a world of fairness for those who do good. But the teacher tells us that too is striving for meaningless in our lives. Notice our focus is not on the earth, but what it will be like in the end. It's meaningless here, this side of heaven, but not on that side. Life's injustice reveal the limits of human understanding of God's ways. And God's ways are higher than ours, and although we may not understand, we can trust his sovereignty. It's a fair question to ask God why. You do not have to look very far when you compare your walk with God and the trials and struggles you face. And those who do not care for God seems like a breeze to them. The teacher is once again reminding us that life and its meaningless. If you're finding yourself in this loop, and to be honest, there are times in my life where I wondered why aren't things working out for me. I'm faithful. I'm following you, and yet I'm struggling. Others who are not, are not. Maybe that's what you're feeling today, right now. May I remind you, in the Christian walk, those who have followed Christ need not do it alone. As Pastor Josh and I met with the baptismal candidates for the first service, he reminded them that Jesus, after his baptism, was sent to the desert and, from our perspective, was challenged by the devil. He reminded the candidates that baptism is a spiritual high event in their lives, and be watchful that after struggles may come, and they may be just around the corner. When we attempt to face those struggles alone, we sometimes and often fail. We need others in our life, and we need God's word as we walk through this in those times the teacher's talking about. May I remind you that today, if you find yourself struggling, there's people at the end of the service that are up here willing to pray with you or for you. Because we are meant not to do this alone. When faced with the apparent unfairness of life, we should look to God's word and his character and his promises for comfort, because his word is true. I began this message with an illustration from my life of obedience with the law. But I didn't tell you everything that happened when that ticket was delivered. The very people who gave me the ticket followed up with an illegal traffic violation themselves. And if I would have done that, they would have given me another ticket. But they drove around to get back to the same spot to get the next unexpected person to drive through there. I was mad. I was mad not at my mistake. I was mad that they got away with it. Because they should have got a ticket like I did. but this too is meaningless, says the teacher. Isn't it? What can we take away from today's message and the service? What's one thing we can put in our back pocket and carry it into today as we leave to contemplate God's word, his written word? Let me sum it up this way from one of my favorite teachers. To be wise and obedient requires discernment. To be wise and obedient requires discernment. I have a list of different characters here in the Bible that I have written out, but due to time, I'm just going to say their name and I want you to think about them before the worship team prepares to come up. These are people that were wise and discerning and obedient. Joseph, Nehemiah, Daniel, the apostles experienced spiritual discernment when they were arrested and persecuted, but told of their faith in that moment. We have the option of disobeying, running away, defying orders, and even fighting back. But before we act, we must first exercise wisdom to seek discern the right time and procedure. It's not easy to be a consistent Christian in this complicated, evil world, but we can ask for wisdom of God and receive it by faith. I'll ask the worship team to come forward as they're going to lead us in our closing song. And as you stand to sing this closing song, it's a song that should mark us as believers as we travel through life. The things of this world may be meaningless, but our lives should be one of blessing God through it all. Please rise as we sing.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We trust you have been encouraged and challenged in your faith journey. If you're desiring prayer, want more information on our church, want to partner with us, or be involved in any way, please go to our website at mountoliveefc.com. We'll see you next time.